Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to part two of our talk with the Pandora.
Greetings, and welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast. I am Dave, and as always, I'm joined by my partner, Holly. You might have remembered maybe a few months ago,
and fractures, and then things move on to new and exciting opportunities. This is Dave and Holly, and we are with the Pandora, so let's get started.
About the tech, because there were multiple times you reformed in different iterations, right?
No, we only reformed. I guess we started doing it maybe 2013 or 14.
2013.
Okay, 2013. We decided to reform and do this, something that never ever did the four of us. It was Sherry, me, Karen, and Kim. Did we ever imagine what happened? Yeah. In the future, you know, looking back at it then, that we would, it would even be possible to do something like that.
Kim said she would never do it. She said, nope, I won't do it.
Why do you suppose?
She was like, she was playing in the Pixies then. She played in the Pixies for a little bit.
Right.
And she came home on a little break and she's like, don't tell anybody this, but I really want to do it. You know, it was like her little hidden secret. It was really her desire, but she didn't want people to think that. So
we started secretly practicing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and Karen and Sherry did at first, and then Kim, you know, she wanted to do it. She's like, I want to do this. I want to hang out. And yeah, we secretly did it. And we did it for like a year. It was great.
Yep.
We didn't tell anybody. We did what we called salad days.
Salad days.
Sherry was like, let's rotate, you know, somebody bring salads each rehearsal. And so we would take turns doing that. And it became a thing called salad days and our band rehearsals. And it was awesome. I mean, I anticipated the first rehearsal with Kim. I was like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to feel. It's going to be so, I don't know, emotional to play these songs again with these girls. And it's been so long, but, I just enjoyed it. I just had a great time and it was just so much fun. And we were really doing it to honor the band and the music, and Paula would have been so on board with everything.
Oh my God. Exactly what Karen said. Cause there were some people that were a little weird about it going, how could you do this? It's like, seriously, this is something 100% Paula Pierce would have supported. All four of us doing this. And playing awesome songs. We picked out all the great songs that we love. Paula would have loved the attention that it brought, and the fact that Kim was singing now and Karen was playing bass and all four of us together, it was great.
100%.
So Kim was singing when you guys reformed?
Yeah, Kim was singing and doing the Paula part. So she sat and played guitar. So she switched from bass. Karen, who was the drummer before me, is also multi-instrument. And Karen did the Kim part playing bass. I'm a one trick pony with drums. So I played drums. Melanie played keyboard.
Was Kim complete, like back in 1990 when you were kind of making this new direction, did you realize that Kim was she unhappy or did she want to go out on her own? Did she have her own songs? Did she try and bring it to the Pandoras?
Okay. So since Kim and I, we formed the Muffs. So in the later portion of the Pandoras, Sherry's era, both Kim and I were extremely not happy. That wasn't a musical direction that we enjoyed very much. We loved our band family, Paula and Sherry. Musically, not our style at all. And Kim, you know, Kim had been writing some songs. I had decided to learn how to play guitar. So I would play in the Pandoras on one or two songs live. And so basically, I guess about 1990, Kim and I started rehearsing some of her songs, like during, like we before Pandora's practice, or and this was way before we had the muffs. And Kim was like, she had like the same thing, like her four track demos and stuff, and we would just go jam it out. And Ronnie was her boyfriend, and so Ronnie, it was me, Kim, and Ronnie, and then we have our friend Dave Naz play drums, and I think Sherry played a couple times too with us.
I did.
But we would just like play these songs that Kim had. And at the time, we weren't ready to do anything yet. But a good 8-9 months previously to Kim and I not being in the Pandoras anymore and starting the Muffs, we had already been playing and jamming on Kim's songs. And then me, you know, becoming better at playing guitar. The summer, like July of 1990, Paula decided that she didn't want keyboards anymore in the band. We were supposed to go to Europe on this tour. She was so rock. She had her second guitar player, which I don't think the Pandoras ever needed a second guitar player. You know, it was much better as a four piece.
I agree.
So Paula didn't want keyboards in the band anymore. So after me, I'm the longest person that ever played with Paula. I was no longer in the Pandoras. And Kim was no part of that. And then Kim stayed 2 more months because, like I said, that we were supposed to go to Europe. They were supposed to go. And then Paula canceled it because her boyfriend couldn't go to Europe. And Sherry was still there for all that. And so then Kim left. And then we just continued on learning Muff songs, you know, all of Kim's songs and doing our thing. And to where, you know, we formed the Muffs and then played our first show in January of 1991.
Yeah. And I played one more show with some with Lisa's boyfriend on bass, and then I quit.
And that was when the band officially disbanded?
No, she was trying. She was still trying to get members. I even jammed with them. I was in another band.
Was this during the Elektra time? I know you were signed to Elektra for a little bit. Was this?
No, this is way off. This is like the end of the band.
Okay,
Karen is Elektra.
Karen's Elektra.
Okay,
and then Karen got fired or quit. I don't know, whatever happened there. I think August of 87, Karen was out. And then they had a couple of drummers in between. And then I joined November of 87. So now flash forward to fall of 90. I quit. So then the only people still in the Pandoras was Paula and Lisa Beltry, who was a second guitar player. And they jammed with various people. I even went and jammed with them, and Paula kept saying, I'm more pop now, I'm not doing metal, I'm more, she's trying to get me back. And to me, it just wasn't the same. I was in another band.
So Karen, you and Karen did not, was there any crossover at that
time? No, Karen, I was like the enemy, kind of, probably, right?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Well, we used to prank call Karen.
Sherry would prank call Karen.
We were
all 12 years old.
Yeah, we still are.
So yeah, we used to prank
these guys.
Call.
These guys still do. You guys still do prank calls. You're still 12.
You know what? Until a couple days before Kim died, her and I were doing prank calls. So there you go.
Oh yeah.
Can you give us an example of when? It gives Mr. Wall there.
Sherry, do one of your Karen ones.
Oh, when I would call Karen, I would call and so this is all from our rehearsal studio, which was Dave Nasworthy's house, where Red Cross rehearsed, L7 rehearsed, the Chemical People, all those bands. I don't know. There were so many bands that rehearsed there. There was a phone in like the little waiting area with a long cord. So we would be bored waiting. We rehearsed 5 nights a week. So sometimes some of us would get there before others. So like it would be maybe like me, Melanie, and Kim were there waiting for Paula to arrive. And we would get on the phone and we would prank call people. So I used to prank call Karen pretending I was calling like looking for a...
Like from the recycler.
Yeah, looking for a drummer. So I'd say, I'd call her up and go, "Hello, Karen?" And she'd say, "This is Karen." I'd say, "Yeah, hi, my name's Tish, Tish Tashian. I got your number from a friend of a friend." And I would have this person, this voice, Tish Tashian. And Karen, I remember talking to you about their influences. Yeah, little John Cougar, little Mellencamp. And we did it. I called her a few times. I remember calling you once. It's And then when we were auditioning rhythm guitar players, because we were going back and forth between being a four piece and a five piece, we would have these auditions, and these ladies would come in, and afterwards we would put on the voice.
Fun of them.
Huh? We'd make fun of them. We'd be cracking up.
Yes.
That's how I think Tish Tashian kind of.
I think so too. Yeah.
Do you remember that, Karen? Do you remember Tish Tashian?
I don't.
You blocked it out.
Let's stop it right here, and we'll take a break and return in a second with the Pandoras.
And we're back. We're back with the Pandoras, Sherry, Melanie, and Karen.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Well, I got into a band right after the Pandoras and it was busy and we were doing really well and I wasn't looking for a band, so I probably didn't stay on the phone too long with Tish.
Was this, you were in Wednesday Week, right? Was that the band?
Well, no, I was in Wednesday Week for about a year. I was playing bass, but I was in also the Rebel Pebbles on guitar.
That's right. Okay. Now they had a hit actually. You were on IRS Records.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. That was a fun, it was about 6 years. I spent more time in that than I did with Pandoras. Pandoras was like 3.5, 4 years. And then Rebel Pebbles was about 6 years up until about 90, 92 or 93.
Yeah. What was Dream Lover was the song, right? That was like your.
Yeah.
Now what was
our hit? We had a Billboard hit.
Now, what's that? I mean, because I guess, you know, the Pandoras have been looking to get to that next level, and here you are there. Were you still in touch with, you know, your friends? And like, what's it like to be, you know, on planes and on tours? And, you know, like, they were, I'm sure there was trying to get some momentum. You were on MTV.
I mean, it was fun. It wasn't nearly as glamorous as you think it would be. I mean, it's just traveling. It's traveling and staying in hotels taking trains and did a lot of stuff in Europe, actually, a lot of television shows and radio and stuff. We actually stayed in Miles Copeland's house in London. So yeah, we actually lived in London for, I think it was 2 or 3 months at Miles Copeland's house. Miles Copeland he was a manager for the Police, because his brother,
yeah,
Stuart Copeland, was the drummer, and he also had IRS records, and he was always looking for ways to save money. And so us staying at his house in London was a way for us to stay there, live there. We rehearsed at a place in London, and we would travel on trains to go and do promos and things like that, and TV shows at Disney and Germany. And you know, it was just kind of a launching pad for us to do all our European stuff over there. But that was kind of a fun time, you know, and another sorority of mine that, you know, we had a lot of good times together, and, you know, took the tube everywhere, and, you know, did some sightseeing and things like that. But that was a really fun time, but not nearly as glamorous as you might think. It's just traveling, you know?
No, I understand. Did the Pandoras ever make, I know you, Pandora's toured the United States. How much did you ever make it across the pond?
We did in 2015.
Oh, okay.
That was with Karen, Kim, me, and Hillary. And we did 3 weeks straight playing every single night. And it was actually, we had a great, great time. And it was, I mean, it was crazy playing every night. But we had fans that had waited like all these years that came to the shows, and they'd come up to us, and like one specifically, he's like, I was pen pals with Paula. We used to write letters all the time. And, you know, I specifically remember people like in France that were like, we waited, you know, forever to hear these songs. And it's so amazing to be able to actually hear it. And it was a really great feeling to be able to go there. I had been there before on tour with the Muffs, but to actually, you know, be there and have the Pandoras finally do it, because that's what we were supposed to do, and it was good.
Did you have any new music between the time that you did that tour and before, when you guys reformed? No, new music, just playing old Pandoras?
We actually, Karen can tell, we did write one song for something. It's been aired once, if you were lucky enough to hear Rodney play it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I
think Karen recorded it. You can say what it was. Can you say what it was for?
Yeah, we were asked to submit a song, write an original song. They gave us some prompts, like it was for a cartoon show, Polly Pockets.
But a theme song.
Yeah, a theme song. And, you know, we would submit it, and other people would submit their stuff, and they'd pick the song that they liked the best. They didn't pick our song, but
ours was the best. Ours is so good.
It's really cute. It's really great. And we all pitched in, and it's a collaboration. We all wrote it together and recorded it at my place. I have a little recording studio. And Rodney's played it a couple times on his show. It's a cute song, and it's the one thing that we've all done where we all participated, you know, equally in contributing. We all sat in a room and came up with ideas for lyrics, and then we went on our own. Say, oh, I have this idea, or I have this chord progression, or I have this melody, and it just kind of all sort of like, you know, influenced everybody else, and then we came back and. And Kim had sort of this core idea based on all these different ideas everybody else had with lyrics and, you know, chords. And she came back with this sort of put together arrangement, and we recorded it, and it came out great. It was really cool. It was really a fun zero ego sort of collaboration situation, which I thought was really ideal.
Do you?
I love it. I would like for us to put it out on something at some point.
That'd be great. I would love that too.
Do you own the rights to it? Can we play it on the podcast?
We do have the rights to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ours.
Well, if you want to send it our way, we'd love to play.
Yeah, and you'll allow us to use it. We'll put it. We'll stick it in here. That'd be great. What's it called?
I think it's called Polly Pocket.
Polly. No, we call it Polly.
That's Polly. Right, Polly. A new series they came up with, and I have a friend, a dad of my son's friend, and he works in that whole cartoon industry, and he contacted me, and then I kind of like was the lead person on all the contacts and stuff, and I said, hey, you guys, how about we, you know, write a song for this this cartoon, and it just happened. We made it happen. We had to do it pretty quick and make it work and get the recording and get it in on time, but that was fun. That was a great experience. I'm so glad we got to do that.
Yeah, me too.
Are you guys all still playing music now? Sherry, I know you play. Sherry plays in a couple of cover bands, Whole Lotta Rosies, the ACDC. They're all women, right? And you played in a UFO cover band, an all-female UFO cover band.
Tribute. Yeah, I'm playing a couple of different tribute bands. I played with Karen in a band called the Carrie Ann's. I just play a lot now. Well, not right now because I'm on lockdown.
And Melanie and Karen, are you still playing?
Yeah. So through Kim's illness, Kim, myself, and Palmyra Del Ram, we formed a band called The Coolies that Little Steven put out on his record label, Wicked Cool Records. Mm. And we put out an EP, and 100% of the proceeds went to ALS. And we did this up until her death, and we have more future songs that will be coming out on it as well. So Palmyra and I are continuing on with that, and we are going to perform live and, like I said, put out future albums. Oh, and I play with Palmyra in her solo band when she comes to the West Coast. And then I also play with Josie Cotton in her touring band.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just toured with her in Minneapolis in December. And we had a East Coast tour coming up at the end of May. We had 6 or 7 shows. And of course, now they're postponed because of all of this craziness. Mm-hmm. And the same with the Coolies. We had this big show we were putting on for Kim and ALS. Celebration show, we were going to play our first live show as well with Roy McDonald and Annette Zelinskas playing in the Coolies. And, but anyways, all of this is postponed. It's all going to happen. And I absolutely love playing with Josie Cotton. She's amazing. She has a beautiful voice. I love her songs. And it's really fun to play all those incredible songs that I grew up with. So that's what I've been doing.
How did that happen? How did you connect with her?
I connected with her through, it's so odd because you would think through the years, like we would have like crossed paths or her and Paula would have crossed paths. And we actually never did. We know a lot of the same people and stuff, but I have a friend in Minneapolis named Travis, and he knows like all, like he's been in a lot of bands. He's put out a lot of records and he's a DJ and just kind of a part of that whole scene. And he he's a promoter. He's actually the one who brought the Reform Pandoras back to play in Minneapolis. So he said, you know, he put together a touring band for Josie. And he's in it and I'm in it. And then her bass player, Cherish, that's in it here. And then this drummer, Dave, from Minneapolis. So yeah, that's how that happened. It's amazing. Just totally, like Josie and I and Cherish, we just like hit it off like immediately. It was the greatest thing. It was just like being with these girls, like the same kind of like hilarious talk and just so much fun to travel with them and hang out and practice and stuff. I love it.
That's fun. That's
can I add that the Reform Pandoras recorded with Kim, two different, I'm on four of the songs, and Hillary, the other drummer, is on three.
Yes. I'm Burger Records, our EP. Yeah.
And where is this? Where are these recordings now?
They're available on iTunes. That came, the one that Sherry's on, it's like Sherry just said, that came out when Kim was sick as well, but we had recorded it previously to her being diagnosed with ALS, but it came out in March of 2018, but that has, it's me and Karen and Kim on all of it, and then Sherry on part of it, and Hillary on part of it, and so you can get it on Burger, you can get it on any digital platform.
And Karen, are you still playing? We didn't get to it.
Oh, I am still playing. I'm in a lot of different bands. I'm in a band with Sherry. We have a Aerosmith tribute band. I'm guitar in that, Sherry's drums. I'm also in another Aerosmith tribute band where I play bass. And we had a lot of shows booked, but because of the whole coronavirus thing, we've had to delay and postpone a lot of things. So we haven't even had our first show yet. But yeah, and I play also with Sherry in a band called the Carrie Ann's, and we've recorded a couple songs that came out as a digital single on Big Stir Records. And that's also with my friend Mary Ann from Australia. Mary Ann knows 10 times more people in LA than I do. She knows everybody, and she's an amazing musician. And we have plans to write and record stuff. She was supposed to be here in April, and we were going to write and record some new Carrie Ann's tunes. But she couldn't get out here because of the whole coronavirus thing. So, yeah, but I've kind of gotten into more of the production end of things also, because Kim asked me when she started to be unable to use her hands to work the computer when she started getting sick. She asked me if I would engineer for the remaining of the Muffs record that they put out.
That's a brilliant record.
Omnivore.
I love that record.
Oh, thank you.
So good. Ugh.
I'm so like honored that she would trust her music and just, you know, confidentiality to me to do that. And it was just a wonderful time that I got to spend quality time with her creating music and producing. You know, she was producing. She was as much a producer as she was before ALS. She, you know, communicated to me over Viber. She was in the living room and I ran headphones out to her, and I was in the recording room with whoever was doing their overdubs, guitar, bass. I sang some on some of the backing stuff. She asked me to sing harmonies and stuff. And I played a little percussion, and Roy played percussion, and Ronnie played bass.
I played on it.
Recorded all that stuff. Melanie played keyboards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wonderful. And Adam Sherry played was Kim's hands for guitar. He just really got her vibe and her sound down really well. And it was a really great, like probably my favorite project ever to be like an engineer on. I mix and I record at my studio. So I've been doing a lot of sort of the behind the scenes sort of stuff lately. I'm waiting on some new gear to arrive on Tuesday because I ran out of processing power on a album I'm mixing right now. So I'm a little bit on hold right now. So everybody's antsy to get mixes done, and I ran out of processing power. So I'm upgrading some of my gear, and I'll be hunkered down in the studio again, working all night. I still play in bands, and I play mostly bass these days. I really dig bass. Drums are very physical, and you have to be in tip-top shape to be, and you know, carrying the drums and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I just kind of like the bass. It's a cool thing to do, you know, bass and vocals. I also play in another band with Robbie Rist. He's a local musician, and he was is an actor, but he's most famous as Cousin Oliver. But he's an amazing musician, and we've worked together now for, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years in various recording projects and bands and things like that. And we have a new project. It's Cousin Oliver's Cavalcade of Hits. And we do all these, we both grew up, the 70s music is like our baby food and our DNA. And we just love all that stuff. And so we put together a band that's going to kind of the tribute band thing, but we're not technically a tribute band. We're sort of a tribute to an era and a decade as opposed to a particular band. But it's just all the songs that we really, really love and that we grew up with playing. So that's kind of a labor of love kind of thing. And we dress up and in really silly outfits and stuff like that. Crazy, like Lidsville influenced
nice
stuff, puffin' stuff, colors and crazy things. So yeah, I'm involved in a lot of different things. In a nutshell,
you get to keep working through all of this, which is really fun. Yeah, you're lucky.
I am very lucky to actually be employed a little bit. Not really employed. I mean, most of the things that I do musically are a labor of love. But yeah, it's nice to be creative and being able to stay at home, because I do have a studio at home, so I could play music, play drums, play bass. Record, mix, that kind of stuff, all from the comfort of my home.
That's really nice in these times.
Absolutely. I feel very fortunate, definitely.
That was wonderful. It was great. It was really fun to talk to you and to go over the past and know that you're still rocking. I love that.
We get more fans to follow for you guys now, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was fun.
That was fun.
Thank you for bringing Karen and Melanie in. I'm so glad.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
that was a real treat. Yeah, to have all three of you here, it was really nice. Thank you so very much. So that was a lot of fun.
God, this has been so great. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation with the Pandoras.
This was great. One of your friends happens to be one of the Pandoras. It was crazy. And I'm glad she brought along a couple of other friends that are really great musicians.
I feel so lucky. I know Sherry has been a friend, and she fit perfectly with the theme of our show.
Yes.
We were so happy to have Sherry, and she brought along Melanie and Karen, and it's been great.
We
had a lot of good stories.
Yeah. If you've never heard of the Pandoras, we're going to have a Spotify playlist. And so you could listen to all their music. Follow us on Facebook. Go to our website. Sign up for the newsletter. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.